Okay, let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 10. Beginning in verse 1, let's hear the word of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Heavenly Father, bless again this time that we have as we open your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us, that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 9 of this book we looked at for several weeks, and we read about Christ healing a blind man and the controversy that was associated with that healing. We've seen that the hatred that was coming out of the Pharisees just continues to grow. And their desire to see Christ eliminated just really starts percolating. They want to get that done. As this 10th chapter opens, Jesus is still speaking to the same people. There are, in this crowd of people that Jesus is talking to, there are disciples and there are enemies. Both are hearing the words that Jesus is speaking. And he takes this opportunity to speak to them using allegorical language. He's conveying his message through word pictures, things that they can better understand. Specifically, he's speaking here of sheep and shepherds. Now, to the audience that he's speaking to, that should not be foreign subject matter. They are agrarian in their society. There are a lot of people who keep sheep in that area. But also, as they go back to their own history, as they read through the Old Testament, they read through the prophets, they read through the Psalms, is a great deal of this allegory, using the metaphors of sheep and shepherds. We're very familiar with the 23rd Psalm, which opens that the Lord is my shepherd. In the 79th Psalm, it says, we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture. In the 100th Psalm that we just came to worship with, we are confirming or affirming that we are the sheep of his pasture. The 80th Psalm, which we read responsively, opens, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leads Joseph like a flock. And then the prophet Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. And if you, when you have the time, I'll encourage you to read that chapter. It's pretty good. God did good on that one. 34th chapter of Ezekiel. God, the Lord God, says, I myself will search for my sheep. So we have that picture in our minds that the Lord is our shepherd, that we are his sheep, as we are part of his church. And Jesus is saying, he's starting into this. I mean, this is actually a continuation. He has just told at the end of chapter 9, he's told the Pharisees, he says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. And then he immediately goes into, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Almost from the beginning, after the fall, imposters have tried to lead God's people. False prophets would rise up from time to time, and they would subsequently be eliminated. It's important that we understand, while these things occur, God will not permit his people to be deceived, at least for long. There may be a temporary stumble. But God's people will not be deceived for long and permanently. Jesus says, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door. We're not used to that. We live in a different type of society, more manufacturing and service related. The sheepfold was a place of safety. It was similar to a corral, but more substantial. You know, you watch a Western movie, you see a corral, you see a fence keeping all the horses and stuff in. The sheepfold, having no roof, had walls of stone that were built up. And it had in that building a door, a very sturdy door. It had a couple of reasons for that. First of all, this sheepfold served to prevent the sheep from wandering off. The shepherd would at night take his flock in there and bed them down for the night, and they stayed. There was a limitation as to where they could go. They were kept safe that way. And the other side is that sheepfold kept the predators out. See, the walls, while they weren't sky high, they were sufficiently high to deter, you know, any lion or bear that happened to be walking around from getting in. Kept them out. Also kept the sheep in. First year that Jen had a lamb was a new experience for us. It was a great learning experience. As I had gone out and a friend of mine had told me, he said, what you want to do is use snow fence, and that'll work to keep the lamb penned up. I said, okay, makes sense to me. So I had, before we went and got the lamb, I went out and put the fence up. We got it all set up. And we went and got Sheba, brought her home, put her out in the pen, you know, out there, and we settled in for the night. And it happened to be a rainy night. And next thing I knew, you remember we were living on the farm down here in Bloomfield, and it was an old farmhouse, a big front porch. And next thing I'm knowing, I'm hearing clip clop, clip clop. And I said, what in the world is going on here? And you look out and that lamb was on a porch. I said, how could it be? I had it fenced in. It was all good. And so we took the lamb, put it back out. I said, you know, you can't be staying on the porch. You got to go, you know, you got to be out here where you belong. I mean, there was a little shelter for it. There was a shed that it could go in and get out of the weather if it had enough sense. Which apparently didn't. And so we went, put it back, Went back in the house, boom. Next thing you know, boom, there it is. So I said, okay, this is ridiculous. What's going on here? So I took it back out and waited and watched. And that lamb jumped the fence to get out. So fortunately, I had extra fence. So I had to put another layer, to put another row of fence. I tied it around so I had two fences on top of each other. And that seemed to be sufficient. That kept her in. But that's what this sheepfold that Jesus is using for illustration, that's what it did. It had walls of stone that kept those lambs in, kept the predators out, and it had a door, a very sturdy, heavy door that made it accessible. Where the sheep went in at night, came out the next morning. Only authorized help, and particularly the shepherd of the sheep, would be able to enter that sheepfold, would be able to have access through the door, because there was one who would guard that. You see, the sheep, at least in part, represented the wealth of the one who owned them. And just like today, there's always been, since the fall, these nefarious types who wanted somebody else's wealth for themselves. So they couldn't just access the sheep through the door, because the doorkeeper would not allow them in. So if these no goods were going to get at the sheep, they had to get in a different way. And so they would climb over the wall. They'd go find a nice spot and climb over the wall to get in and get those lambs. Now, it's mind-boggling to me, because they weren't going to take them out the door either. If they climbed over the wall and was going to steal them, they were going to have to hoist them up over the... Yeah? So obviously they were eating their Wheaties in order to do that. Jesus said, "He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, that sounds redundant, because it seems like they have the same ultimate goal, taking from you what is yours. The thief doesn't care. The thief is one who is determined to deprive someone else of their property. And they don't care how it's done. If they have to climb over the fence to get it, so be it. If they have to break into the house, so be it, whatever kind of a thing. If they have to con you in some way, it doesn't matter to them. They're happy to steal from you in this way. The robber, the only difference between the thief and the robber is that the robber is happy to use violence in obtaining your goods. Whether that means he's just pointing a gun at you to take it, or some other means. But the robber uses violence to obtain the property that he wants to take. These obviously would not be considered true shepherds. Thieves and robbers. And of course, Jesus, when he's talking to the people here, he is not talking about literal livestock. He's not talking about actual sheep stealers. He's warning about something that's far more important. He's warning against those who would seek to obtain mastery over Christ's own flock, over Christ's people, and by using whatever technique it was that suited them. They might try to sway the people with pleasant talk. Christ doesn't have what you need. You need to come follow me. I can show you the way to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. No sacrifices involved. You want to eat well, don't you? You want to live well, don't you? Christ is not going to take you that way. So they talk pleasantly. There are others, not so much. Rather than be pleasant with you, would rather try to intimidate you with threatenings. The Pharisees were good at that. We saw how they handled the family of the once blind man, threatening them. Anybody who would believe this preacher from Galilee, anybody who would have confidence in him, you're going to be put out of the church. You'll be excommunicated. And the blind man's parents were petrified and they caved. And the blind man got excommunicated because he kept his faith firmly in Christ alone. These false teachers, these false shepherds, they didn't come in through the door. They came in another way. But he says, when the true shepherd arrives, there's no need for him to sneak in. He doesn't have to find an alternative way. He comes in through the door. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens. The doorkeeper has an ear for the voice of the shepherd. You know, remember in the movie The Wizard of Oz? Remember when Dorothy and her gang shows up at the door? And they didn't have a peephole, right? The guy had to open a little door, a little window thing in the door to find out what it's all about. Well, see, they didn't have one of those in these doors in the sheepfolds. The doorkeeper just had to listen. And he recognized the voice of the true shepherd. And he understood that this individual was authorized to be there. That he was functioning under the appointment of the one who owned the sheep. He was there about the owner's business. Now, when we read this allegory, we want to be careful not to try and explain every detail in the thing, because Jesus didn't tell it this way for that purpose. But we understand this, that Jesus plays several parts in this allegory. Christ is not only the true shepherd. Christ is also the door. Christ is also the door. Jesus is the true shepherd. And those who occupy pulpits are sometimes referred to as under-shepherds. Shepherds who are under the authority of the true shepherd. Those who are ordained by God with the task of assisting in the care and the feeding of his flock. The purpose of the under-shepherd is to point the people to the true shepherd. not to garner attention for themselves, but to look to Jesus. Calvin made the comment that they alone are good shepherds who lead men straight to Christ. Bring them to Christ. The obligation is not given to the under shepherd to make men feel good. Somebody told me one time that they were upset with the way they were being preached to. That, you know, we don't want to be confronted with our sins. We don't want to be confronted with hard things. Church should be for R&R. Church should be a place where we should go and relax. Place where we should go and feel good. Well, I'm not saying you can't go to church and come out feeling good, because you can. But that's not the call. The call is not to make you feel good. The call is not to somehow motivate you to have your best life now. Because to have your best life now could mean anything. It, you know, what's that mean to an individual? For one person, having your best life now might be exceeding prosperity and having not a worry in the world. For somebody else, having your best life now might be being the biggest crook. To being the top mob boss. We'll have a good life in Christ. Our best life doesn't come till this one's over. If you're a member of his flock. Fact of the matter is, if we're being led to Christ, we might not feel good at all. When we are faced with our own sinfulness, in the light of a holy God, that's not a good feeling. That's a convicting feeling. That's a feeling that might cause us to tremble a little bit. Good news is that the true shepherd is abundantly gracious to the sheep. And though we might not feel good at a given point in time, he doesn't leave us to wallow in our sin. He motivates us to do something about it, to confess it, to get it out there. He opens our ears to hear him. And then you know what he does? He calls us by name. He knows you. He knows you by name. You see, the shepherd had that relationship with the sheep. He was involved with those sheep every day, all day long. They got familiar with him. He was familiar with them. And in some instances, shepherds actually named their sheep. And when he would call by name, the sheep would, by that name, would respond. and come to him. The true shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, knows the name of every single one of his little lambs. Every single one. Now that's a massive number. That's more than you and I know. And face it, sometimes we forget names. We see a face that looks familiar, but wait, we can't put a name with it. God doesn't have that problem. Jesus doesn't have that problem. The true shepherd knows us and calls us by name. And he comes to the sheepfold. And he calls us. And then what does he do? He leads them out. He comes into the sheepfold and leads the sheep out. Out of what? The true shepherd leads his sheep out of the deceptions of this world. The true shepherd leads his sheep out of the dependence that we may place on ourselves. We have a little bit of a curse here in America because we've been told since we've been wee little that, you know what, we have American ingenuity. And if we want to get somewhere, we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and we obtain. We're dependent upon ourselves. But the true shepherd leads us out from that and makes us understand that our dependence is not on ourselves. Our dependence is upon him. He's watching out for his sheep. He's caring for his sheep. He's seeing to it that his sheep are fed. The true shepherd leads us out of the bondage to sin. We sin. We do it every day. We're going to continue to do it until the day we die. It's just because that nature remains in us. But he leads us out from the point that we are bound to sin. That we are under sin's bondage. See, we do it, but we don't have to do it. We don't have to. We are not under that bondage. He leads us out from that. And the true shepherd leads us out from the fear of death. People are plagued in this world because they're afraid to die. Oh, if we don't do something about this climate change business, we're all going to die. If we don't take care of our environment, we're all going to die. If you drink coffee one day, you're going to die. If you don't drink coffee one day, you're going to die. If you eat eggs one day, you're going to die. If you don't eat eggs one day, you're going to die. Here's the clue. You're going to die. It's going to happen. Guaranteed. Everybody gets one chance. But we need not fear that event. The true shepherd comforts us. And when that hour arrives, we can lay peacefully in his arms as he takes us through that event. He leads us out of those things, and yet he leads us into the green pastures of his word, of his sacraments, of the ability to speak with him in prayer. He leads us to these places. And he leads us beside the still waters of his sovereign love and his grace. This is where the true shepherd takes us. And our confidence, once it's placed in him, allows the sheep peace of mind and the opportunity to experience true rest in him. Let's pray.